for your worship. For those of you who don't know, this isn't a lot of them. This is just one of the groups. You guys are such a joy. You ever had them carry you to worship on their backs? You know what I mean? I so appreciate the ministry of minstrels among us. I don't know anything about music. I just appreciate it when it happens. I don't have any particular skill in those areas, which was a great disappointment to every other member of my family who were all musicians and artists. My mother was sure that I would be a choir director or something. Now, when I talk to her, every time I talk to her, she says, "Tell me again what it is you do for a living." And I tell her. Sometimes I tell her the truth. Sometimes I just make something up and she says, "Oh, that's so wonderful. You would have been a great musician." Mothers are fun. I appreciate this congregation for a number of reasons, one of which I'll speak about briefly. The issue of unspoken rules and appropriate decorum. It's nice to be among people who know how to behave. It's particularly nice when, even though there's not a list of rules and regulations, people understand the things they're supposed to do. And it's always disappointing when someone oversteps one of those bounds and we have to address it. The right way to do this is called yarding. It's been with us for about 10 years. If you're going to yard, Y-A-R-D, someone, thou shalt do it surreptitiously, so as to hide thy identity from the yardee, or the person whom you are yarding. Thou shalt not admit, under any circumstances, to actually having participated in the yarding, which is to say, if you're asked point blank, you cannot admit it. And at the same time, thou must not lie while not admitting it. Those are the rules for the yarder. And if thou hast been yarded, which is to say, if someone has put an object in your yard which was not there when you left, thou shalt leave the associated yard ornament in thine yard for yea 7 days. And if thou removest the ornament from thy yard before the appointed seven days are finished, thou shalt get a blot to thy reputation. Because the rule is 7 days. And thou shalt pretend when you see your brothers and sisters that nothing is amiss, and that you actually put them there yourself. All of the while trying to determine who it was that might have done this to thee, on the off chance that there may be an opportunity for revenge, although lo, re-yarding, which is to say, returning them to the yard of the person who put them in your yard, is against the rules. So those are the rules. It started with a single pink flamingo. And it appeared, yea, verily, in the pastor's yard, along with a note that said, "These are the rules. It has to stay for 7 days. You may try to find out who did it, but you can't put this back in their yard. And if you ask anybody, they will deny it without lying." Which is to say, someone comes up to you and they say, "Did you know that I have a pink flamingo in my yard?" And you say, "I had not heard anyone speak of that." "Do you know anything about how it might have gotten there?" "Well, nothing occurs to me at the moment that I could contribute to your inquiry without causing real distress in the church." All right, having said, now we understand the concept of yarding. How many of you were here when yarding began? And how many of you had not heard of the rules until this morning? Good, okay. This was a necessary reiteration for the church, and I'll tell you why. Because when I went on vacation, a yarder left for me a legless flamingo and a plastic chicken on my front porch. In fact, when I went on vacation, a yarder left for me several pink flamingos one legless flamingo and a plastic chicken on my front porch. Actually, that's not the worst of it. While I was on vacation, a yarder left for me several pink flamingos. No, wait a minute, I have to do this right. When I was on vacation, a yarder left for me one pink fat pig, several pink flamingos, one legless flamingo, and a plastic chicken on my front porch. All right, I mention this because the rules are thou shalt leave an or perhaps two yard ornaments. And then thou shalt deny vociferously, without lying, that they had anything to do with it. Is Millie Norris here this morning? She was laughing the first time we saw her. And she said, did you like your gift? And I knew it was her because we gave her this pig 2 years ago. It's really a classy pig. So I felt at that point, with so many rules having been broken, that I needed to reissue the rules for the sake of the theological clarity of the church. And while I was on vacation, a yarder left for me one pink fat pig, several legged flamingos, one legless flamingo, and a plastic chicken on my front porch. And another friend, in the spirit of the thing, called me up and said, do you like cabbage? And I said, sure. And they said, would you like me to drop one by? To add to your salad. Now, if this hadn't actually gotten out of hand, I probably wouldn't have said anything. This is out of hand. I'd like a volunteer for each of these objects. I'd like someone to come and pick up each one of these objects and then find a home for it according to the rules. Not necessarily the cabbage. You can eat the cabbage for all I care. I thought I was going to eat that cabbage and then go to my friend's house and just sit there until the inevitable followed. But if I don't get any volunteers, I'll hand these things out. Who likes cabbage, by the way? Here's the cabbage. That sucker's huge. Pink flamingos with no legs. You may take. You want the one without the legs? You want the legless one? Well, see, What I'm going to suggest that you do is after the service, you may mix and match and trade to your heart's content. And then within the next week or two, you may distribute these to your friends. Whoever has the pig, you're going to have to trade it off because everybody will know. Did you want the pig? Have a pig. And did you need a flamingo? But if these things show up in my yard again, you guys need to know that's against the rules. You have to keep it in your yard for 7 days. Who needs a flamingo? Thank you, Michael. And a plastic chicken on my front porch. Who wants the plastic chicken? It's really ugly. It is tacky. Okay. Well, so the deal is you don't put it in front of your own house. You go put it in front of somebody else's house. And then you deny vociferously knowing anything about it. Did Nancy want the plastic chicken? You have no taste, woman. That's tacky.
That could be on my front porch.
Oh, that's right. Now, the Wallaces, let me mention that the Wallaces are out of town. And the pastor is out of town. Now, but keeping, and the Franks are out of town. Okay, but the first person that gets something into a yard gets the yard. You can't go add more stuff. It's not fair. So whoever gets there first with a yarding gets the yard. This is all being recorded. Yeah, but he didn't have the video of who I gave the stuff to, so he can blame it on me. Stuff wound up in my yard. We're going to play this game, all right? Email the rules. Can I get a secretary to volunteer to send out the rules? You want sympathy from me? Voila. All right. Now, laughter does good like a medicine. I did that deliberately with absolutely no intent. Of carrying it quite that far, but it's too much fun not to. I only did that to point out that there are, in fact, churches that have rules. And there are, I'm sure, great benefit to be found in rules and regulation. In fact, we know that communities live according to whether or not their laws are enforced and justice is in place. But one of the things that we thrive on as children of God is that our relationship with our Father is not a law-based relationship. Our relationship with our Father is not a law-based relationship, is it? Because if it was, some of us would be in a bind. Rush, you're going to have to put those things down. You're going to want your Bibles open to the book of Romans, and let's point out a couple of things just to refresh our memory some more today on the issue of drawing perhaps a little closer to God. The rules and the laws are there. They have a purpose. They serve a necessary end. But the rules and the laws are not what satisfy the depths of our heart, and they're not the thing that actually finishes the work for us, in us. Anybody, any old Baptist in the crowd besides me and my wife? Former Baptist, thank you. Thank you, brother. I see that hand. Okay, thank you. Okay, for the Baptists, you guys know what the Roman Road is. Did anybody else spend any time on the Roman Road in the early days? Okay, some of you guys did the evangelical thing. Romans Road, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and what? Okay, that's the introductory signpost on the Romans Road. If you're going to tell somebody about the gospel, this is a way to do it. But Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? I'm sorry? One more. All of us are sinful. All of us? Well, look around the room and let's make sure. Do you see, is there anybody in the room that you think would be like least likely to qualify for that one? Where's my wife? There she is. You know, we laugh about that. But you look around the room and you say, well, there's probably one over here who's the least likely. You know, if anybody needed some help, they probably needed less on that issue than the rest of us. I mean, there's those of us who are in the Navy, which pretty well guarantees you went down some wrong paths. And then there were those of us who were hippies in the 60s, and that pretty well guarantees you were stupid. And then there were those of us who were college kids in the 80s, which was the yuppie, go get mine era. And so we made a lot of mistakes. But there's got to be at least one in the room who only needs just a little bit of help. But that isn't true, is it? All have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. There's a nature in us whereby we're in a mess. We all need help. We all stayed up too late last night. Now we can't stay awake. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Dear Lord, every one of us, even the one that you think probably is pretty holy today, how about we just count like over the last several weeks forward? You think there's anybody who doesn't actually need any help on that? What does the Scripture say about our righteousness? It's as filthy rags. That's disappointing. If works were what was going to make it work, if Abraham was going to get what he got because he deserved it, you know, he earned it, then that filthy rags thing wouldn't be true. But it is. That's just the way it is. That's where we are right now. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the next step on the road? Any Baptists remember? 6:23. Okay, turn the page. Somebody read that in something other than King James. Okay. The wages of sin is death, and there's a gift. How many of us are going to get paid for our works? Oh, trick question. On the issue of works, you get what you deserve, right? In Romans, it says that a bunch of times. If a workman got paid for his work because he was a hardworking guy, well, that's not a gift. That's not grace. That's nothing. That's just payment for work. He gets what he deserves. But if there were something that you deserved and you got delivered from it, that's grace. That's a gift. Is there anybody that didn't actually need the gift? Didn't need God to cut him a little slack? No. Wages of sin is death. Anybody know what the next signpost is? 5:8. All have sinned, and sin leads to death. But God commends His love to us, in that even though we deserve to die, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we started off talking about rules. If it was a rule thing, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How would we go about qualifying if it was rules? What would you do to get on the right side of that equation? Does everybody get on? Does everybody get saved? Boy, God sure that would be God's preference, wouldn't it? It's the will of the Father that all would be saved and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it's not going to happen. God commends His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Next one. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you be saved if you're 5 years old? Can you have a legitimate experience with God when you're four? How many have seen a four-year-old saved and changed by the experience? Isn't that exciting? You know, we, as adults, we talk about the experience of the presence of God, and we recognize our spirit and our flesh respond to the presence of God is as a God moment descends upon us. The Holy Spirit brings understanding and an opportunity to us. The hair stands up on your arms and the back of your neck, and you realize that your heart is stirred, and you've got to go to God. You've got to run to God. That happens when you're any age. A four-year-old can hear the call of God and say, I've got to go to God. I have got to run to Him. Wherever that throne is, that's where I'm going. And it's such a thrill. And then there's the older among us who have that same experience at a later place in life. God speaks. And we find ourselves strangely moved. And in obedience to this scripture, perhaps, I don't know, sometimes... Mahesh Chandra tells stories about street kids getting saved in his church. And he's up there preaching. And they respond to it without ever having anybody read this stuff to them. They didn't get the Romans Road. They didn't get the John 3:16 story. All they got was, if you want to get right with God, now's the day. Now's the hour. This is the moment. The Spirit of God is speaking your name. If you say yes to God, God will say yes to you, and He will gather you into the family. And some kid back in the back of the room stands up, they're overcome, and they go to the floor having given themselves to God, and the only exclamation they know is profanity. And so that comes out of their mouth. Is that legitimate? Absolutely. That's the only exclamatory phrase they've ever been taught. Oh. As they enter the presence of the Lord. So, with their mouth, they confess Christ is their Lord. With their heart they believe and they're saved. How odd. Can the church get too hidebound for that stuff? Does the church get itself in trouble when the youth worker brings street kids in? And the true story. Youth worker brings street kids in. They're in the balcony because they're kind of scruffy and a little bit rowdy. And so the youth worker brings them in and puts them up in the balcony. So just so she's got opportunity to kind of speak with them before they interact too immediately with the church service. And the preacher's saying something. And this kid stands up at the back and he says, you rock, man! She lost her job over that, and before that was asked not to bring those kids into the service anymore. Because there are churches who don't understand that the purpose of the kingdom is not to make them comfortable on Sunday. Thank you, God. The purpose of the kingdom is to change the world. The purpose of the kingdom is to change us so dramatically that every place we go, we are what? The light of the world. The salt of the earth. These little scriptures here, all have sinned, everyone. While we were sinners, Christ paid the price for us. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on His name. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe with thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from death? Saved from hell? Sure. Fire insurance. Saved from this world, saved from this present darkness, saved from all of the things that make life absolutely untenable and make life possible because Christ has come. Even in difficult circumstances, and we know difficult circumstances, do we not? Have we not all been to the edge of death? Have we not all been through illness and crisis? Have we all not been through social upheaval and family upheaval? Have we all not been through difficulties with children? Have we all not been through political turmoil? Have we all not been on the edge of one war or another? Yes. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, we have great victory very possible lives, great joy in serving Him because of the simple things. All have sinned. Well, yeah. While we were sinners, He made a place for us. He called you by name. Back here in the back of the crowd, Lord, see me. You know my name. I want to be part of the family. You can. You can. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever. Whoever. Whosoever is a nice old word. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. Whoever. Any exceptions to that? Are there classes of people left out? Are there races or socioeconomic status groups who are not as welcome? Not a chance. He wants them all. He wants them all. He calls to each one of us. And when it happened, in the second chapter of Acts, they were preaching. They were glorifying God and speaking in the languages of all of these people who'd come from all over the world. And people thought he was drunk and the crowd had been drinking. And he says, no, no, no. These are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the ninth hour. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that. Remember what it was? And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out upon my Spirit in the last days. And they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't you love it? Can you hear the Spirit of God when you're reminded of what that is? Is the hair standing up on the back of your neck? Whosoever. What about those dirt balls who didn't come to church this morning? No, them too. What about them folks that don't let their women play softball? In fact, they won't even let them wear jeans. We used to fellowship with one of those churches. They wouldn't let the women wear jeans and they wouldn't let the women play softball. Can they be Christians? They don't have as much fun as I do, but yeah. Romans 4, 7, and 8. This is not part of the Romans road. This is just the wrap-up. David said, this is not new to Paul. He's just refreshing our memory. This is not new to us. We're just refreshing our memory this morning. David said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed are they who the Lord doesn't keep score against. Blessed are they who in the presence of the Lord are spotless and white and clean and acceptable by His grace. Blessed are you, forgiven of God. Blessed are you, because your transgressions are covered. I had occasion when my daughter bought her first car to see a lot of the Lord's grace and heart toward His children. She wouldn't let me buy her a car. She wouldn't let me do 1,000 things for her. But when it came time to buy the car, she was willing to let me help beat up the salesman, which I did. And she was willing to let me help manhandle some of the paperwork and coordination issues and on and on. And when it came time for financing, she was willing to let me co-sign. Not that she didn't have the wherewithal now to handle it herself, but the credit wasn't in place yet. And there were still some questions in her youth. And I thought of my Heavenly Father, who looked at me and remembering how much joy I had in doing whatever she might allow me to do for her. I wondered if my Heavenly Father didn't have such a heart toward us. Doesn't He wait patiently, looking for opportunity to give us good gifts? If our earthly fathers will give a fish to a hungry child and not a stone, if He'd give you bread when you asked, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more quickly and how much greater is His joy as His children say, Father, could you give me a hand? And He says, yes, have it all. Here's everything. Here's everything. Beginning to end, top to bottom, front to back. Here's everything. Every good gift and every perfect gift. All that we need in His gift. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they whom the Lord loves. Blessed are you because the Lord knows your name and knows your need and waits with excitement for the moment when you'll say, Father, could you give me a hand? Of course. Of course. Father, I'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Of course. I'd like to know a little bit more about what it means to be a man of character. Of course. I'd like to walk with you a little more closely. Of course. I could use some help. These days are hard. Of course. How good it is to belong to the Lord. We're going to wrap up here in just a moment with some time opportunities at the altar. In just a minute, I'm going to invite the Holtz and our missions trip to come down and stand over at this end. And those of you who would like to take a moment to pray with them, this is nothing formal. There are no rules. You can stop in and say, bless you in Jesus' name, I'll remember you. Or you can come and stand around the crowd and wait for prophecy and words of wisdom to happen. That's perfectly fine. We're also going to make a place for those of you who, as we review the simple things this morning, remember, I've been talking to the Lord about the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a while, and I think I'm ready. If He's ready, I'm ready. If He's ready to give me good gifts, I'm ready to receive them. And I'd like to meet with those of you who'd like to talk and pray and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just right here. What else is on the list this morning? We're getting closer to God. We had fun in worship this morning. Those of you who have some business you'd like to conduct with the Lord on that this morning, let's make a place at the altar for you. Susan, would you be available right over here and just pray with some those who might come up? If you'd like to come up and be prayed for, you may do that. If you'd like to come up and pray for somebody else, go get them, drag them up, and pray for them. And if there are any issues of healing, because the Lord's been so gracious and faithful, if you'd like to talk with someone and have someone pray for you about healing, I can probably entice my wife to come down and make a place at the altar over here. Glenn and some others will come over and join. But let's give the Lord a moment at the altar. If you could put on some background music for us. Todd and Camille, if you go ahead and come up here. Susan, if you'd come to my left. And Marilyn, if you'd come. And Glenn, if you'd come by the communion table over there. And those of you who would like to pray with the young folks, come and pray. Those of you who'd like to come and pray about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or pray about getting closer to the Lord, let's stand up and move to the altar. If you'd like to find a place by yourself privately to pray, you're perfectly welcome to. Not in a hurry. Think about it a minute. Grab somebody and take them with you. Father, we thank you with our whole heart for your grace toward us, for the fact that you called us by name. We thank Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. And we hope with all of our hearts, Lord, not only today, but tomorrow, to continue to walk closer to you. Each day this week, Lord, we want to do better than just get through. We don't want to just make it from Sunday to Sunday. We want to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Bless us, Lord, with your presence and with your counsel and with your grace, we pray. And instruct us, Father, as we walk with you, because we want to do well. We want to make you proud. We want to please you with our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me encourage each of you to take a few moments to pray. Say, Father, this is my life. I lift it up to you. And after you're done, you're free to slip out the back, make your way down to fellowship. We'll all be down there in a few minutes. But we'll leave this place to the Lord in his presence. And so you're released as you finish. Bless you, each one.